Recent studies reveal that one in two males and one in three females in the United States will be diagnosed with cancer at some point in their lives, in our lives. Given our networks of family, friends, suggestions, virtually every one of us will experience the talk about cancer. My next guest, Living with Cancer, a step-by-step guide for coping medically and emotionally with a serious diagnosis. Doctors Vicki Jackson, Dr. Ryan with Michelle Seaton, well, present this step-by-step guide for this coping. Let's talk with one instrumental. Your name is first, Vicki A. Jackson, MD, MPH. I hope you're well. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Shelley. I'm delighted to be here.
Great. You are Chief of Palliative Care at Massachusetts General Hospital. I trust you discuss the topic of cancer on a daily basis?
You know, I do, actually. So a big piece of the work that I do and that our division does is really serving patients who have a diagnosis with cancer. And our division here at Mass General has been very fortunate to have a close collaboration with the Cancer Center. And one of our colleagues, Dr. Jennifer Temmel, in our group did research in early intervention palliative care, having palliative care see patients early in the course of illness. And we actually found that patients who saw us early had improved quality of life, lower rates of depression, and actually in our first study lived nearly 3 months longer. So this is something we're very passionate about and dedicated to improving the care for patients with cancer.
And do these numbers surprise you, the frequency of those where cancer is touching lives? Should we be preparing for this?
You know, unfortunately, cancer is very common, and one of the things that, you know, that Dave, my co-author, and I always talk about is cancer is common. Cancer, we are detecting cancers earlier, and we're thankfully in a place where we have better and new treatments all the time. So patients are living with cancer for much longer, meaning that there are more symptoms that they can have related to treatment or the cancer itself. And the other thing that I think is really unique about cancer is that it doesn't just affect the patient, really, right? The entire family is involved in helping them get through chemotherapy, taking them back and forth to appointments with real regularity that I think makes it a very intense experience for families and loved ones as well.
And I'll stay on that topic. Family and friends, critical to the support of anyone with cancer. How is the engagement here? And maybe this this fits the emotionally opportunity, the emotional opportunity. You say take on the role of an information czar?
So, yeah, it's really interesting. What my patients will say is it can be really isolating having cancer because there are ways in which you have all of these groups of people. I talk with patients about this in terms of orbits, like their inner A-orbit of people. Those are the people who are, you know, your closest friends and family, and if you haven't brushed your teeth or you don't have the pot of coffee on when they come, they'll come in and do it, and it doesn't really matter. They probably know everything, really, about what's going on. But these other orbits, you know, friends from a faith community or from work or other places may call and try to be supportive, but it can be exhausting for both the patient and the family to be retelling the story over and over and over again when sometimes most patients say, I want to have parts of the day where I'm not thinking about being sick. So we really suggest having one person who you assign to be this information czar. You can tell them what information you want transmitted, and there are lots of ways now electronically that things can be transmitted. Patients of mine will have an email distribution list and send regular updates, and that way they can craft what that message is. They also can, there are things like caring pages that can be used, you know, to help engage a whole community. I think it also offers a real opportunity to say what you need and what you don't need. You know, people want to be helpful, and if we don't tell them what things they could do that would actually be helpful, we tend to get 18 pans of lasagna, which can be less helpful. So, you know, would it be helpful for rides or taking the dog for a walk? Those kinds of things can be very helpful.
The book is out, Living with Cancer, a step-by-step guide for coping medically and emotionally with a serious diagnosis. A broad question, but what's significant here medically? Obviously, build your cancer care team right away.
So absolutely. Absolutely. I think making sure that you have a team that you feel good about. And, you know, Dave writes in the book the three A's of having a good cancer provider. They're able. They're really, they understand the cancer that you have well. They're abreast of new treatments, of experimental treatments. That is a really important piece, that they're affable. They need to be somebody that you feel like you can connect with, because you need to ask questions and are going to need to ask questions repeatedly, sometimes the same questions multiple times over the course of weeks and months, because it can be hard to take in all the information. And the third A is being available. You know, there are things that come up, you know, there are things that come up related to side effects from treatment, questions that come up, and you need to have a clinician, a clinical team that can be available to you. It may not always be the doctor, but is it a nurse or a nurse practitioner, a physician's assistant, ways that an entire team can help support you. And we always say, I wish you didn't have to become a competent, capable cancer patient, but you will. But part of the way you do that is by really having a team you can engage with and fully utilize.
And dealing with progressing cancer, there are good days, bad days. Can you help me out here?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, one thing that we always talk about is that we want to help people make sense of having the best shot at the best case scenario. And what does that look like? And that's different for each person. And one piece of information early on is the disease curable, that we can take it away or not? And if not, how long do we think people, you know, how long do we think the time frame would be with this? Not everybody wants that information or needs it, but if you do, that can be information that can be helpful. And in the setting of cancer that's progressing, you know, the things to ask the clinical team are, what treatments are there that are available to me? Are those treatments that you think can be beneficial? What are the side effects of those treatments? And then being able to think, if time is shorter than what I hoped it would be, what do I want to do with this time? How do I want to spend this time? And being able to have your clinical team, oncology team, palliative care team, help you make sure that your symptoms are in good control, that you've planned, sort of made, you know, planning for the future as best as possible. So sometimes that's practical things like a will, those kinds of things. But also, what else is important and how do you want to spend this time? Is it a family trip? Is it being able to have, you know, spend time every week with a grandchild? Whatever those goals are, it's incredibly important to still have that, even in a setting where cancer may be progressing. So those are the kinds of things we try to help think about and talk about in that last third of the book.
Yes. Any other take-home messages from your work, Living with Cancer, before we close?
You know, I think the biggest piece that I would like to encourage patients and families to do is to really be empowered, have a list of questions, tell your clinical team about how you're feeling, if you're having nausea or pain. They can help you if you tell them, but it is amazing to me how often patients will say, well, I'm just supposed to be tough with this and not worry, you know, I don't want to burden the clinician. But the more you tell your clinical team, the more we can be of help to you to live as well as you can with this tough diagnosis.
How do we find out more information?
So we have a website for the book, livingwithcancerbook.com, where you can see more about the book, learn more about us, our research, and also you know, different places where we may be speaking about the book.
Thank you very much for the conversation. Living with Cancer, a step-by-step guide for coping medically and emotionally with a serious diagnosis. Dr. Vicki A. Jackson, thank you.
Thank you.